Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Voices for Change 2.0, the only podcast that focuses on mental health while mixing in movies, music, books, sports, and pop culture. Here are your hosts, Rebecca and Joe Lombardo.
Hey, good morning, and welcome to Voices for Change 2.0 on this very, very chilly morning in Michigan.
Yeah, hey there, guys. How's it going? Thanks for tuning in. Hope you're surviving Snowmageddon 2019.
wherever you are.
Wherever you are, depending on what kind of weather you've got. Yeah. For us, here in lovely Michigan, we're getting dumped on. We're getting a bunch of snow, so I do not look forward to having to go outside later to do anything really.
We're not planning anything.
I'm not what you'd call outdoorsy.
No.
So, you know,
neither of us are. We're indoorsy.
I'll have to go out and shovel, but you know, beyond that, I don't anticipate driving anywhere today.
You know, I was just thinking as the introduction was playing that we haven't done anything lately with TVs, books, movies, all that good stuff. And I was thinking about, well, first of all, football.
Just
football. What what happened to all of our teams?
They all went kaput. And once again, we're stuck dealing with No disrespect to any fans we have in Boston, but
we're not big Tom Brady people. I'm not, at least for me, I'm not a big Tom Brady person. So
yeah, we're not huge Patriots fans. That said, I respect them because they are a good team.
Definitely. But all I can say now is go Chiefs.
Yeah,
because they're like our last resort, and they're red. So.
Ladies and gentlemen, the criteria for my wife's cheering, they're red.
Red's my favorite color. Those of you that know me know that well.
And
for as far as movies are concerned, for Christmas, I bought you Venom.
You did.
And I was not all that pumped about watching that movie. I'm going to be honest with you. I really only bought it just for you. And I watched it just for you. And it started off a tiny bit slow. I remember thinking, oh, this is kind of slow. And then it got into it, and you can't beat Tom Hardy. He just, everything he does is really, really well done.
Yeah.
You know, and I can't get over that movie. It was so entertaining.
Yeah, it really was, you know, and I know it didn't have the fanfare that they were hoping for when it was in the theaters, but it was a lot of fun. It was a great ride. Totally enjoyed it. Liked the little Marvel things here and there that popped up.
Mm-hmm. Stan Lee's last cameo too.
No. His last cameo is probably going to be in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, he's still got a way to go for that then.
Yeah, they shot some stuff before he passed. God rest his soul. And so he's going to have a cameo in Captain Marvel. He's going to have a cameo in Avengers Endgame. And I believe he's going to have a cameo in Spider-Man Far From Home, if I remember reading that correctly. Not to mention, the trailer for Far From Home hit this week. And I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. I always have been. And I got really excited watching it. So I think that movie's going to be good.
I'm still trying to get used to that kid.
Oh, I think he's great. I think he's the best Spider-Man that they've had. I think it's perfect casting. And I have zero complaints.
Well, you know, it took me a while to get used to Henry Cavill, too, and now I love the guy.
Yeah.
You know how I am with things. It'll take – I'm sure I'll warm up on him because he and Robert Downey Jr., their scenes together are always really entertaining.
Yeah.
That'll probably warm me up on him, but
yep.
So anyway, there's our quota.
We have talked sports and movies. We'll leave TV for next week.
Yeah. I can't think of anything on TV anyway.
And what's a book?
What's a book?
What's a book?
Okay. All right. So today we, whoops, I can't move backwards. The microphone won't hear me.
No.
Today we have a really exciting show for you.
We do.
We, I see this gentleman all over Twitter. He has a prolific Twitterer.
Is that a word?
I just made it up.
Okay. Well done.
It is now.
Well done you.
Well done you. And, he does a lot of really great work. He's a impressive advocate and does just a lot of great podcasts. He is a fellow podcaster, has a lot of great shows, and we're very happy to have him join us today to talk a little bit about shop.
Yeah.
Talk shop.
And he is from the great country of Canada. Mm-hmm. So, you know, going to give a hearty, how's she going, eh?
And with that, please welcome Justin Dickey to the show.
Thank you. Yeah, you got me a little excited off the top. You started talking movies and music, books, sports, pop culture, whatever it was you said off the top. And then I thought maybe we were going to go down that rabbit hole for a bit. But anyways, and on football, I don't know a lot about American football, but I actually worked for a Canadian Football League team this past season. So I could talk shop if you're into the Canadian Football League.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that is cool. We aren't. Not, you know, we haven't said out that I'm not going to watch that stuff. But we just there's just too much to pay attention to over here. So
I will say we have
you still with us?
Yeah, sorry, I said you guys weren't paying attention to the Johnny Manziel hysteria that was up here for a few months.
No, we had our own down here.
Yeah, we were pretty over him.
Yeah, we got burned out hearing about Johnny football.
Yeah, he was actually with our team to start the season, but we ended up trading him.
Oh, no kidding.
That's
yeah.
Funny.
We, yeah. What's the team? Andrew.
We have
follows.
A friend, Andrea. She's really into.
Starts with an R.
Oh, gosh.
She's
a team.
Yeah, I think the team starts with the name.
I thought it was Saskatchewan.
There's a route. Yeah, Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
That's them.
There you go.
That's the one. Yeah, she posts about them all the time. So,
and I was like, oh, that's, yeah, cool. I don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know, Vince McMahon is going to bring back his football league. So
yeah,
maybe that'll bridge the gap.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. So
it didn't do so well the first time around, but I liked it. I watched it.
She did. It was painful to watch a little bit.
Yeah.
But, so anyway, so Justin, are you getting dumped on with any of the snow that they've been talking about over here? It's probably like dry as a bone where you're at, ain't it?
No, actually, it's not dry as a bone. I'm thinking that maybe it's part of the same system. There's starting some snow to come down now, and I'm thinking that it's supposed to hit this afternoon a little harder. It's supposed to get like 20, which is maybe you don't know what a centimeter is. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, you know.
What can you do?
Yeah, it's weather.
I usually like a little bit of the white stuff around Christmas, and that's always kind of a disappointment to me when we don't get any. And now just on this random day in January, we're getting a bunch of snow. So what can you do?
Yay, winter.
All right. So let's get started. Unless you have any questions for us, we're going to jump right in.
Go.
All righty.
Cool.
So our first question that we ask all of our guests is, where does your mental health journey begin?
That's an excellent question. And I, upon reflection over the past year or so of really hitting the lowest point of my depression is, I think it started in childhood. It's really hard to place it, but there was a I was diagnosed with it's escaping me now. Mono in elementary school, and I missed a lot of time with that. And then when I started to integrate myself back into school, because I missed like a month of school or something with mono, I seemed to have real difficulty with it. And then there was kind of we had to adjust and create a plan. I was sort of slowly reintegrated back into school, and I was just, I remember just having a really hard time with it. And upon reflection many years later, we thought it was kind of lingering effects of mono, like just being really tired all the time and that sort of thing. But upon reflection, I think it's more so that I had missed out on a lot of social stuff, and then kind of lost a piece of that school year, and that was kind of the start of depression, I think. And that whole kind of thing kind of lingered with me through to today, basically. And so it kind of started there. And then when I got to university, it hit me really hard. Trying to reintegrate with a whole new social circle was really difficult. And then like the pressures of that come with university from the academic side were a lot to take on. And I really struggled through that. And I hit a real low point about 10 years ago or so. And was kind of get suicidal and that sort of thing, and worked through it. I saw a psychologist through the school, and kind of worked through a lot of that stuff, tried medication, but got off of it, and just tried to push through and didn't really address it the right way. I had a few points with the psychologist and kind of just, I guess, pushed through, figured it out, started to feel a little better, and just moved on. But nothing really ever went away. I've always kind of had a low mood, up and down, comes and goes, that sort of thing. But about a year and a half ago, or probably goes back further than that, probably almost 2 years ago now, I was not doing well with my job, and that's been a theme in my professional career, where I'll move into a new role, and then it's good for a while, and then I just kind of tailspin, and I blame it. I blame it on the job, and then I just jump to another job, and there's an initial high, but then I kind of go back to the same place.
That sounds so familiar.
Yeah, and that's what I've discovered talking to a lot of other people. And you put so much time and effort into your career. Like, your career, someone asks you, a lot of times you meet somebody, oh, so what do you do? It defines you as a person. And I put a lot of stock in that it means a lot to me to really take pride in what I do and enjoy what I'm doing with my life. And time and time again, I find that I'm not enjoying it. So I got to a point about 2 years ago where I decided that, again, in a new role after an initial high, I was kind of like, no, this isn't for me. And started to wonder, is it ever going to be for me? And there was kind of a moderate toxicity within the workplace between me and my superiors. And it just kind of snowballed, and it all came to a head kind of one night. I was probably a year into that job, and my wife was off on a work trip, and we were talking on the phone, and I was saying that I think I got to quit my job, and I don't know how much more I can take of this. And she said, well, you can't, like, we need the money, that sort of thing, like, obviously. And I just blurted out, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I can't, that's where I'm at with it. Wow. Do this anymore, because I literally can't live through it. So that, at that point, that was obviously a sign to her clearly that there's more to this. Okay. Well, it's not just about money. Okay. So we said, okay, yeah. Well, we have to address this. So at that point, we're like, okay, we got to go see a psychologist or something and figure out where to go with this. But then what really bothers me to this day upon reflection is that I was still so caught up in stigma and how it would be perceived if anybody were to know about me looking for help, that it took me, I think it was 5 months before I actually sought help and actually did something about it. So, at that point, I eventually went and got help and then immediately went on sick leave. But and when I sought help with a psychologist, he's like, okay, we need to put you off work immediately. And it really affected me to see how seriously somebody took that. It was like, wow, this is much bigger than somebody's taking this seriously. And it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And so anyways, you asked me where it started. It started in childhood, but like where I'm at today is, and I'll get to how I started my podcast, but, I went off work and worked through that for a few months. And then, do you guys know what Bell Let's Talk Day is in the United States?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
It's a campaign in Canada, that promotes talking about mental health. And last year, January 31st, I decided I got to tell people. It's eating me up. Like, I'm not getting better. I just keep this to myself. I kept it from my family, besides my wife, from like my extended family for months. Told them at Christmas. And then about a month later, I said, it felt really good to tell people at Christmas. I got a lot of support. And I think I just need to stop hiding this from everyone. So I just kind of blurted out in a series of tweets on Bella's Talk Day, here's what I'm dealing with. Here's what I've been dealing with. And I'm tired of hiding it, type of thing. And I got like 180,000 impressions or something that day on the series of tweets. And that was really a shock to my system. I was like, wow. And just nothing but love and positivity back from it. I said, that's really cool. So it was 2 weeks later, I decided I'm starting a podcast. I wanted to start a podcast for a long time. I'm kind of obsessed with them. And always thought that like the ultimate job for me would be to work in like sports talk radio. So I was like, you know what, let's do it. Let's do a podcast on mental health. The Bella's Talk thing was really positive, and I'm going to continue this. I'm taking it upon myself. This is going to help me, and I'm hoping it'll help others. So because it's going to help me, I felt really – it just – struck me as like, I'm going to call this my therapy. The name of my podcast is My Therapy with Justin Dickey. And I always say that the intention is to help me, and if it helps others, great. And that's kind of, I get a real thrill to try and help other people, but primarily I talk about my mental health and my mental illness and my struggle primarily to get it off my chest, get it out of my system and help me. The after effect has been that it's helped many other people, and that's been really exciting.
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people end up kind of falling into that. It's like, well, I'm going to do this to benefit myself, help myself, you know, and everybody's journey is different, obviously, and you do what works for you. But it's funny, like we saw it with Beck's book, you know, she wrote, excuse me, I have a case of the coughs today. You know, she wrote her book mainly as a piece of therapy for herself to get off her chest some of what she needed to get off her chest and tell her story, and ended up helping, you know, just a bunch of people, you know, and we were shocked, you know, and it's like, well, you know, let's see where else this can go. And, you know, that's kind of where our podcast came from, is like, you know, people would ask our advice on different things, you know, and being married and all that. And so we're like, well, let's do a podcast. And
yeah, see. I was actually going to be on a podcast, and I talked to that person about trying to do a podcast ourselves, and it kind of developed from there. So, you know, I'm happy with how far we've gotten and the topics, and just, you know, having people, especially like you, Justin, that, you know, are an inspiration.
Exactly. You know, and getting the feedback that we get from people all the time, you know, is just, it's great because you feel like you're really contributing. You know, we, as you know, there's a great community on Twitter and everybody's super supportive. It doesn't surprise me actually that you got the response that you did when you had your posts on Bell Let's Talk Day. And you know, it's a great community. So knowing the support is out there and then drawing that attention to this kind of support for people that don't know where to get it from or how to go about it. You know, I mean, just, it's just a matter of opening your mouth and saying something and boom, there's like 50 people. Hey, you know, you're not alone, mm-hmm. you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm still amazed too.
The thing that strikes me to this day, like you said, Rebecca, that I'm amazed by it, is that there's this incredible community online, specifically on Twitter, that is so supportive of this mental health conversation. And what alarms me is how long it took me to notice it and to actually take something from it, that I was so caught up in my own mind and to a point where I was suicidal. And and once I started talking about it, it was like, wow, why didn't I know about this sooner?
Yeah.
It's funny you mention that, because you know what I think of, and this is, I apologize for the simplistic nature of what I'm about to say, but it's kind of like when you buy a car, okay? You buy a car, you buy some certain model, you buy, I'll use our car for an example, you buy a Ford Focus, right? And you don't pay attention before you own that Ford Focus. And the second you buy that Ford Focus, you're seeing Ford Focuses
everywhere.
You know, and you're like, oh my God, there's one, and there's one, and there's one. And, you know, it's just funny, because once you open your eyes to a certain situation, you start to realize, wow, there is so much of this already out there. And, you know, I get, you're like, you know, why didn't I notice this before? Well, you weren't focused on that at the time. And one little thing can completely change everything you perceive.
Now, Justin, yeah. Was there a history of mental illness in your family, or were you the first one that was diagnosed?
I would say yes, somewhat. I know for a fact that my mom has been through her own difficulties with depression. And actually, it's funny that since I've started speaking outwardly about it, one of my grandmothers on the other side of my family actually said to me, you know, I dealt with this stuff too. Like when I was younger, when I was kind of your age and just starting to have kids and that sort of thing. And it was alarming to me. It was nice that she was willing to share that, but it was alarming to me that it took me going through such depths of depression and actually starting to talk about it before my own flesh and blood was like,
Yeah.
Well, you know, and again, I think that comes down to, you know, the decades of stigma that's out there. You know, people, you know, especially of that generation, like, oh, you don't talk about mental health. You don't talk about the troubles you're going through. You suck it up and you get through it. You know, it's a different time for us, where we're lucky that it's becoming not only acceptable but encouraged to talk about what you're going through. You know, I think it's great that you inspired her to say something to you about it. You know, and you know, it helps you get a little bit more of a history, and you know. Because, you know, family history with health is always very, very important. You know, mental health, physical health, everything. And knowing what's come before, you can kind of mentally prepare yourself for what could possibly happen in the future, you know. So, yeah, that's great. You know, I feel bad that, you know, it took that to, you know, have family members say something to you, but at least you inspired them to where they could, you know?
Yeah. And that's part of it. It's just nice that, okay, well, we've actually had the conversation now and it's out there. And, you know, she gave me permission to talk about that on my own podcast and obviously to say it now. And all of that helps. Every single person that decides that they're going to, share that story. And every time that happens, that reduces stigma, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, with that, we've got to take a quick break. So we will catch you on the other side of Blake MacGyver, It Gets Better.
Hey, welcome back to Voices for Change 2.0. I'm Joe, she's Rebecca, and on the line, we're talking to the wonderful, lovely, and talented Justin Dickey.
I thought we talked about that.
You know what? I'm going to keep saying it because I enjoy the hell out of saying it. So.
Oh, my word.
So it's all very flattering.
Lovely and talented works for women, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just...
Have you seen Justin? He's a very attractive man.
I did all the promo for the show. I know what he looks like.
Yeah, well, okay then. You know, I can.
How do you feel, Justin, about being called lovely and talented?
Oh, I'm over the moon right now. I'm giddy. I'm excited. It's gonna make my day.
See?
you're pulling my leg.
No, like genuinely, like it feels.
All right.
I made our guest feel good about himself.
All right.
Okay.
Yes,
so
dear.
Don't question my methods. I know what I know. I can objectively say he is an attractive man, and he's
you feel secure enough in your manhood to talk openly about,
you know what,
Justin looked.
I do. I sincerely. I think he's a wonderful person. I am honored that we're talking to him today, and
he is lovely and talented.
He is lovely and talented.
All right, ask him a question.
All right, so Justin, being that you're feeling all lovely and talented, could you please describe your depression at its worst?
Cool. Okay. Just drop a bomb on me like that, eh? Things were light, we're having fun, and I just go, let's get to the worst of it right now.
Yeah. Let's crush your whole feeling right now.
Well, sorry, the question was, what did the worst of my depression look like?
Yes.
Well, I had two hospital stays. One was in late February, early March of 2018. That was the first one. And that was a tough time. I was in the hospital for 11 days in that stint. And then I had a pretty strong upward trajectory out of that. I got on the right medication and kind of I actually got that job that I was mentioning up the top with the Canadian Football League team, and things were going well. And then somehow I lost it. It was over the summer of seeing a psychiatrist to manage my medications. And I said, there was one medication I was on. I take one at night called Seroquel. To help keep in manage mood. And basically I was like, this drug that I'm taking, like, it's great, but like when I wake up in the morning, I have an awful time like trying to get out of bed. And like the whole point of trying to get help with my depression was to get out of bed. And now I want to get out of bed. I have a purpose to go to a job that I enjoy. But I really struggle to get out of bed because of the fatigue that I feel when I wake up in the morning because of this drug. So the psychiatrist was like, okay, we'll wean you off of it. So that's what we did. And over a matter of probably a month of being off it completely, I completely nosedived. And it got to a point where for the first time in my life, I feel like overdose is a strong word, but I used some anti-anxiety medication that I had on a as-needed basis, and I dumped a bunch of them down my throat on consecutive nights to try to numb myself. And my wife took notice after the second night. The next morning, I couldn't get out of bed, and I was like slurring my speech, and I was incoherent. And then she said, okay, we got to go to the doctor. Went to the doctor, then back to the hospital. And that was really, that's probably the lowest I've ever gotten, because that was just really, like, I never really, that was really the first real attempt to on my life, if you'd call it that, because I don't think I took nearly enough drugs to get to that point. But that's kind of the theme that I was going for, because I remember my mentality being that wake up, oh well, and that I spent another week or so in the hospital at that point, and got back on the Seroquel, got on a different kind of Seroquel, slow release that's intended to be a little more gentle, and I take a low amount of it, but it's enough to make sure I get a good night's rest, and I can get myself out of bed in the morning. So that's that point, the second round in the hospital. And to really drill it down for you, I just remember a moment where I was so frustrated. I was like banging my head off of the headboard of the bed in the hospital room, just completely frustrated with the situation I was in and the lack of support I felt I was getting at the time. And whether or not that was legitimate or not, I was caught up in my own mind. But I just remember that moment being like, this is the worst moment of my life. But like I said, we got on the right medication again. Things have been good since that.
That's good.
Yeah.
I take Seroquel also. I have for more than 20 years. Unfortunately, I know what you're talking about with the sleepiness. It varies night to night for me, whether or not I sleep or get up the next morning feeling exhausted or not. But I've discovered that I could probably do it. It's just incredibly unpleasant to wean myself off of it because I've gained quite a bit of weight on it, unfortunately. And I tried to wean myself off of it a few summers ago, and I was so violently ill. I swear I thought I was dying. It was just horrible.
She had really bad with withdrawal symptoms. And, you know, the other thing that was messed up, too, was there was a psychiatrist that she had seen at one point that he was very, I don't know how I want to put it. You had to go and see him no matter what. And, you know, he would withhold your prescription for you, knowing that you were on this medication that if you were off it, you would go through horrible withdrawal symptoms and whatnot.
Yeah,
and
say you had an appointment with him and you had to reschedule it for something. He wouldn't call the prescription in if you were out.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of times where she was stuck going through withdrawals until we were able to get in to see him, you know, and that was one of the many reasons why we stopped going to this guy. I don't want to get into all of it, but that was a big part. So
are you still on Seroquel now, you said?
I am. So after my hospital visit, thankfully, I actually had the same in-hospital psychiatrist as I had the first time I was there who put me on the original Seroquel. So he said, we'll put you on. He understood my concerns about the drowsiness. He said, well, we'll change it to slow release. So I think that has been a difference maker. I think I'd prefer to be off of the Seroquel at some point just because it still makes me pretty drowsy in the morning. But understanding what happened the last time I went off of it, I need to be under heavy supervision. I take a slow release and it's just 50 milligrams. It's a small dosage, just enough to regulate my sleep, really. The key is to take it early in the evening, so I usually take it around 6-7 o'clock, and then by 10 or whenever I'm going to bed, I'm ready to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to take it on an empty stomach? Because that's what Beck has to do for it to fully work for her.
No, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Yeah, if my stomach's completely empty, it will knock me the heck out. But if I've eaten something and then I take my medication, it's like nothing works.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really frustrating experience.
Yeah, the first version of it that I was on, if I took it in 20 minutes, I could hardly walk. Like, it was so intense. Yeah.
Well,
this one's better.
I'm on 1,200 milligrams right now.
Oh, yeah, I'd sleep for a week on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you for sharing that. I know it's not the most fun thing to talk about, but, you know, I know that, you know, again, it's sometimes drawing attention to, well, this is what I needed to go through. You know, it can help other people, you know. So
yeah,
thanks for sharing.
Exactly. It's uncomfortable to talk about. I don't like talking about it. I have reservations over, you know, who's going to hear it and how they take that information. But in my opinion, it's much more important that somebody that's struggling listening to this has heard, oh, wow, that's a pretty dark place to be in. And that guy's doing pretty good right now. So maybe there's hope for me. And that's the point that I'm coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's the same thing with us. And just out of curiosity, this is for my own benefit. Are you still working with the football team, or have you moved on to something else?
No, actually, I've kind of reflected on this recently, and it's actually an interesting kind of turn of events for me. So, no, short answer is I'm not with the football team anymore. I was on a contract for the season. So my contract ran out in December. But what how I'm going to position this is last October 2018, I went to a psychiatrist or psychologist because I was suicidal and didn't want to live anymore, do my life, and was completely distraught and just in a really dark place. I went from that to being off work for 6 months from the employer I was previously with, or who I was with at the time. In May, I had an opportunity to work with a former manager that I worked with in another position, the best manager I'd ever had in my life. Also an opportunity to get back into working in professional sports. I've actually worked for a couple of other professional sports teams previously. It was just a really good fit. I knew what I was getting myself into. I didn't know what I was getting myself into working in football because I don't know hardly a damn thing about football. Or I didn't at the time. I do now.
Yeah.
I figured it out on the fly. But that opportunity to be in a really comfortable situation with the manager I had before, who knew everything I was going through and supported me 100%, that was a really unique situation. And that was just the perfect situation that I needed at the time. And even through a bit of a relapse I had in September, again, he was supportive of the whole thing, worked through it. And then I was right back to work, and maybe not the healthiest thing at the time, but I pushed through it and it's worked out. But what's really cool is that my contract was due to end on the 7th of December. And on the 6th of December, I got an email from a former who happened to work at the Canadian Mental Health Association Ontario Division, so the provincial chapter of the Canadian Mental Health Association, just asking what I was up to. They might have an opportunity for me. And then that led to a conversation on the 7th, which led to a job offer, and I'm working for the Canadian Mental Health Association now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
So
that's cool.
I put that into a little package, is that I went from the lowest point in my life a year and a half ago to that I'm doing exactly what I want to do with my life now. Again, for anybody that's struggling and don't hope, well, I mean, I was in that place a year and a half ago, and now I think what I'm doing is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank that's you. Awesome.
Oh, what is it?
Well done you.
Well done you.
Yeah.
Have you heard that before? That expression?
I have not.
Yeah, it's
British.
It's English. And I actually got one. I was on an English podcast last week, and I was talking, and one of the girls that was running it said, "Well done you." And it's just such a charming.
Yeah, she got all giddy about it.
Yeah.
I got a well done you.
I got so excited. I got a well done you.
Not all. Giddy, I was over the lovely and talented comment.
Okay.
Well, let's change things up a little bit and talk a little bit about your podcast.
Yeah, we didn't actually get to go over where people can find it to listen to you.
Yeah, so where can they tune in?
Again, My Therapy with Justin Dickey. It's hosted on SoundCloud if you're not a big podcast listener, but you need an easy place to find it, go get it on SoundCloud. If you are in a podcast, I think you can get it pretty well wherever you get podcasts. I don't think it's on Spotify, but you can get it mostly anywhere else, I think. And if you can't, let me know and I can help you find it. I'm easily accessible on Twitter at JDICKIE. But yeah, in terms of where you can get it, it's pretty well wherever you get your podcasts.
Cool.
Again, it's called My Therapy, right?
My Therapy with Justin Dickey.
You got
and
it.
What type of guests do you feature?
Well, I obviously everybody's mental health related. I started the podcast as I'm just going to tell my story. So if you go back and listen to the from the beginning, which I'm not going to do because I'm certain that the quality is awful, but to get the context of my story, in my first episode, I outline, where I'm coming from and where I'm at the time last February. And basically what I really think is unique about my podcast is that I'm telling my mental health story in real time. So I go from here's the situation I'm at right now. I touch on some on this next episode to talk about kind of checking in with professionals, and I talk about myths and misconceptions. And then I end up being hospitalized a couple of weeks into doing the podcast. So then I talk about that. And more recently, from time to time, I do check in on how I'm doing. I don't do that enough, but especially recently. But I try to make a conscious effort to do that, to have a check in every once in a while. But I've really gotten into the interviews, and I love interviewing people and hearing their stories. And that's been a lot. That's been therapy for me, just to hear other people's perspectives and to know that I'm not alone in my difficulties. Some of my more quote unquote famous guests, I guess, would be, are you guys familiar with Michael Landsberg?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So he's a Canadian media personality, but, and also the founder of the Sick Not Weak campaign. So he's really well known up here in the sports field, because he's a sports broadcaster for many years. So I had him on there. He's kind of my first big name interview. I've spoken to Clint and Joni Malarchuk. If you know, I don't know if you know who they are. Clint is a performer, is a former professional Hockey League goaltender, National Hockey League goaltender, sorry. And he's had his own difficulties with depression, anxiety, OCD, PTSD. Are you guys familiar with Clint?
No.
No, no, we're not actually. So, which is surprising, because we actually like hockey.
Clint played for the Buffalo Sabres in the 80s, and you might recognize what I'm talking about when I say that he had his throat slit on the ice and almost bled to death on the ice.
That's him.
Clint.
Yeah,
so,
I've heard. Okay.
And then about 10 years ago, he made an attempt on his life. He shot himself in the head and survived. And he is an amazing human being. And now he's dedicated his life to being an advocate about mental health, and he's been through it all. His story is fascinating. He's got his own book out. It's called A Matter of Inches in the United States. And he's just a fascinating individual. And his wife was on the podcast later to talk about her perspective as a caregiver. And that was equally as fascinating. She's an incredible human being. Who else? Other big names. We had Brent Sopel's, another NHL player who I had on the podcast recently.
That name
sounds... Other than that, I do like to talk to other podcasters. I'm a podcast geek, and we usually end up geeking out about podcasts, so I'd love to have you guys on sometime. But I've talked to Jamie Dew. He does a podcast called The Show of Strength. Julie Trites does a podcast called A Mind of Her Own. It's from a woman's perspective.
Yeah, I was on there.
Yeah, she's incredible as well. And Terry McGuire from Giving Voice to Depression is another podcast, and that was a really cool conversation as well. And just essentially, I just love to get all these different perspectives from various people who've dealt with their own mental health issues. And I'm a big hockey fan, so I've talked to some other hockey players. We've had a professional hockey goaltender based in Germany called Ben Meisner was on, and then a former Ontario Hockey League junior player who was drafted by the Dallas Stars named Aaron Snow came on and told his story of battling mental illness and addiction through junior hockey. So yeah, just if you're into sports, I'd recommend my podcast. And besides that, I do have varied guests. My most recent one is with a peer support worker named Dave Kilgannon, who works for the branch of the Canadian Mental Health Association here in Ontario. And that, even that one's there. I love every interview I do, to be honest.
That's cool.
Definitely cool. Yeah. We can, you know, we can agree with that. Whatever preconceived notions we may have about what our guests may talk about or how they may answer questions, it's always different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once we get on the air with the person and it always seems to turn out great. There have been times where maybe one of us said, you know, afterwards, oh, that was kind of a dumb thing we said, but other than that, I can't say that we've ever had a bad guest that just didn't go with the flow.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been good.
A great guest that we had, and I was actually thinking about this guy the other day, was, are you familiar with Mauro Ranallo?
Yes.
Yeah. We talked to Mauro a few months back, and just incredible guy, you know, really passionate about, you know, mental health and everything, and just an incredible broadcaster. And that was a highlight for me personally, was getting to talk to him, because the guy is just fascinating, you know.
Yeah. If you haven't checked out his documentary, you really should. It's really eye-opening.
Yeah, it was on Showtime.
Bipolar rock and roller.
That's right. Thank you, honey. Yeah, bipolar rock and roller, and it was just, it's worth a watch. You know, we found out so much about him, and just a great, great guy.
What I really enjoy is, sorry, go ahead, Joe.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what I really enjoy about some of these podcasts that I've done is that I try to find people from time to time that have a following or who are known, and try to almost brag about the idea that, hey, I've got this person who's important on my podcast. But then I also, there's a lot of interviews that I've done that are from people who you've never heard of, but are some of my favorite interviews. For instance, and I'm not a religious person by any stretch of the imagination, but my episodes 41 and 42 are with a local chaplain named Michael Boyer. And the conversation was so fascinating that we had to break it up into two parts, because there were two very distinct different topics I wanted to talk about. One of them was about his work helping sex trade workers in the Hamilton, Ontario area, and his social enterprise that he started called 541 Eatery in Exchange, which is a restaurant in Hamilton that where people can basically, they donate a few bucks, and then for every dollar they put a button into a jar, and then if a homeless person or a sex trade worker or somebody that needs it comes in, they can use a button out of the jar to get food. And so that was the first part, and we went an hour on that, and we're like, okay, well, we want to talk about your chaplaincy work as well. So then we had him back, and we talked about more of his religious work, working with the military, working with a local junior hockey team, and just how his work in chaplaincy relates to mental health. And I got to tell you, it was those two parts to that podcast were some of the most enlightening conversation I've had in my entire life. And if you're going to try my podcast the first time, I might start there, because it's just an incredible conversation.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
You know, and that's awesome. It's awesome when you have a conversation.
We've got lots of stuff like that. Yeah. We got this stuff like that where it's, you know, somebody you've never heard of, but they've got this incredible story. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good feeling when you have a conversation like that where it's, you know, just an inspiring thing all the way around. I think I want to check that show out, those shows out when I get a chance. 41 and 42, you said?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to check that out.
Well, we are getting down to the wire here where we're going to have to say goodbye shortly, but I did want to get from you what you plan, you know, what are your goals for 2019? What do you think is ahead for your podcast and whatever else you might be getting involved with?
The podcast is a relatively small following, I would say, at this point, much smaller than yours, but I hope, looking at the numbers for 2018, I hope maybe we double them in 2019. I'm not going to get too caught up in it, but my goal with the podcast is, first and foremost, as I said off the top, was to help me. But the secondary goal is obviously to help other people. And what I want to do is to continue to put out content that I would have found useful when I was in my most depressive state. So that's where I come from with everyone that I do. That's kind of my motivation behind everyone that I do, is that if I am struggling and I don't know if I want to see tomorrow, will this podcast make me think maybe I should try again? And so that's my goal for 2019, is continue to put out content that I would want to listen to if I was thinking I was on my last day.
That's a good goal to have.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Justin, where can people find you on social media if they want to reach out and talk to you, or you know, maybe even be a guest on the show, stuff like that?
Yeah, get me on Twitter. Again, it's at JDICKIE. My DMs are open. If you want to send me a tweet, it's not a DM. I'll get back to you. I get back to everybody. Happy to have a conversation on this topic with anyone and everyone. And if you don't have Twitter, I'll take messages on Facebook Messenger. And in terms of the podcast, like, I don't have a website. I do everything through my own Twitter account and through my Facebook. So if you want to check out the podcast, Google My Therapy with Justin Dickey. You can get it on SoundCloud. It's on iTunes. It's on Google Play Music and just whatever else you get your podcasts.
Sweet.
Okay.
That's awesome.
That sounds great. And, you know, we're really grateful for you for taking the time out of your morning to come on the show with us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for spending an hour with us. We very much appreciate it. And it's been great talking to you. Do you have anything you want to ask us before we go?
Yeah.
No, I'm honored that you guys thought enough here. I saw Rebecca put out a call for kind of last minute guests last week, and it was a week or two ago, and I was like, hey, sure, I'll ask. I don't expect I'm going to get a response, but then she said, yeah, we'll have you on. I was like, whoa, okay. So that means a lot. It means a lot that you would think enough of me to kind of say, you know what, yeah, we'll throw him into the mix on this. So I know you've had some big time guests before, and I'm anything but that, and it means a lot you give me this platform to share my story.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're really glad that, like I said, we're really glad that you were able to come on, and, you know, that it's been hopefully a positive experience for you.
Yeah.
It has.
All righty. Well, we are we're gonna be tongue-tied. That's what we're gonna do.
That's easy for you to say. I don't think I could say that.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
Justin, we're gonna have you stay on the line, and we'll get you back in just a minute here. But here is Damian Escobar with Awaken.
Have a great week, everybody.